the hardest working man in internet radio, is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in to the George Wilder Jr. Show, Internet Talk Radio, the talk of our times. I hope everybody out there had a great, great Christmas. And hopefully that greatness can carry on into 2016. Wow. This is just, the year has gone by so quickly, so fast. And it's just like, it was like a shot in the dark, you know. It was like a shot in the dark, 2015. It's over already, and we have 2016 on the horizon. And I know a lot of you got those resolutions out there that you're not going to keep, because I'm with you. I can't keep mine either, but I have done a lot better in previous past years, and I'm progressing, and I hope you are too. I hope you are too. And welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago, out of the state of Illinois. We are in a flux. Check me out on Facebook. Check me out on LinkedIn. Check me out on Google. I'm all over the place. I'm on something new called Cold Coffee Cafe. Check me out there. Check me out on Amazon. I got a lot of material, books and essays and novels, ebooks, and all that kind of thing up there. That's good stuff. Fiction, most of it, but it's good stuff. Check that stuff out. And once again, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. And we are now on the air. And it's, what time is it? 6:02, 6:03, straight up Chicago time, Central time. It is wonderful. And the weather has been pretty horrible out there. If you think about it, it hasn't been as bad as it could have been or should have been. It hasn't been as bad as it is in some other states. But it's winter. It's winter. So we can't complain too much about it. It's winter. So we're going to have to deal with it. And it's December is just about over with, you know. So it's winter. And, teen, I'm going to try to make 2016 a great year. And I hope you try to make it a great year, too. And this is George Wilder Jr. in Chicago, Illinois. I'm in my studio near the lake. And it is fun. And it is fun. I love doing the radio show because it's fun. I couldn't wait to come on because I'm actually back from the Christmas break. I've been off for, the radio show has not been on for maybe a week or so, since the 20th of December, and this is the 28th of December. So maybe 8 days, you know, Christmas break, you know. I mean, George Wilder Jr. needs a Christmas break too. We all need a break. Because since then I've been on here almost a year and a half. So I've been, you know, I think I deserve that, okay? And I hope you guys listen to some of the best of shows that I've done while I was off, you know, because all of them are great, especially the Christmas shows. They were beautiful. They were wonderful. And like I said, I still have no guests. This is the latter part of, December. So there will be no guests in the next few days. However, January 2016, the roster is full. I mean, I've been booking guests for January, and they're all booked. So they all book to show up in January, to call in or do something, talk about whatever they do to you and to me. So January is totally booked. So I'm free for the rest. I'm free for the rest of December. You know, this is the 28th, and if you're listening to it late, you know, so that's no problem. And so I'm free for the rest of December. However, like I just got through saying, January is just about filled up. And I still got a few more slots to fill in January. And every day of January, there will be a guest on the show. And I try to choose and pick and great guests to be on the show. You know, ones who are informative, ones who you can learn from, the audience and people I can learn from, you know, because I'm still learning. I could be 100 years old and I'm still, you know, I'm going to be just as much a student of learning as you are, because it is true. It's totally true. No one is never too old to learn. I learn stuff every day. I said, damn, I didn't know that. You know, so no one is, I'm laughing at myself, right? No one is immune to learning. If you don't learn, you're dead, period. We all learn something every day. I learn something all the time. And my guests bring something to the show all the time, you know. And that's great. That's wonderful. If you can learn every day. I mean, no one gets old, 60, 70, 80 years old, without doing something right in their life. So we'll have a lot of motivational speakers, authors, you know, lawyers, politicians, TV personalities. All of that stuff is coming in January. So stay tuned for that. Be here for that. Listen to that. And this is the George Wilder Jr. Show. I am now on the air. And now I will be right back. I'm going to take a break here and try to get things together. Stay with me.
Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago.
How about that? The Bears won yesterday. They finally won a game away, and they finally won a game in December. You know, but, you know, I mean, it's over for the Bears. But it was a great showing. I do think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the game that the team that they were playing, I do think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers shot themselves in the foot with penalties. And the Bears took advantage of those penalties, and they won the game. But I want to say my hat's off to Jay Cutler and the fellas. I do think the Bears are a good team, even despite their record. I think their record is 5-9. Despite the record, I think the Bears is a great team. I just think they just have those bad days. It just wasn't for them in the cards. But I do think they're a good team. I think they're a good team. I think they're better than a lot of the other teams, even the other teams who are now in the playoffs or have a shot at the playoffs. But, you know, they got one more game to play, and all the Bears can do is try to win the last game. And as they say, wait till next year. But they did win, and that's rare. But they did win, and I talk about the Bears because I'm in Chicago and I'm a Bear fan. And, you know, wait till next year. I think they're at least let's hope they can win their final game on Sunday. And they can go out, you know, with a bang, you know. But, you know, if you listen to some of the sportscasters and some of the sport pundits talking, especially in Chicago, talking about the Bears' win, you would think the Bears are going to the Super Bowl. It's just that the Bears haven't won so in such a long time. You know, some of these sportscasters are putting the Bears on a pedestal, and I don't think they should be on a pedestal. You know, regroup and find out where they are. Come back next year and win the Super Bowl. I want the Bears to do more than just the Super Bowl. I mean playoffs. I want them to go to the Super Bowl. I mean, they're overdue for that. I think their last Super Bowl ring was in 1985. at least, you know. Okay, so this is the George Wilder Jr. Show recording, whatever you want to say from Chicago. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me right here on this Block Talk Radio. Okay, so we've talked about the weather. We've talked about the Bears. Of course, there's no show. There's no guest today or throughout December. However, January is going to be another story. So stay tuned for that. Stay tuned for that. So we've talked about the weather. We talked about the Bears. Oh, wow. We've got to talk about the latest shootings in Chicago. The latest shootings in Chicago. And now the mayor is the mayor, Rahm Emanuel, is cutting short his I'm assuming his Christmas vacation in Cuba to come back and deal with his police department. Boy, this is a rogue police department that has ever been one. Okay, two people were shot the day after Christmas. The day after Christmas, two people were shot in their homes. And they're saying that one person was accidentally shot. How do you accidentally shoot someone? A police officer, how do you accidentally shoot someone? That's kind of questionable to me. You know, so that's questionable. And the person that they accidentally shot was a 55-year-old grandmother who was just, by reports, she was just opening her door. She was just opening her door and she was shot. They were after a 19-year-old. Quantonio Laguier, if I'm pronouncing his name right, 19, was killed by police responding to a domestic disturbance, along with a downstairs neighbor. Her name was Betty Jones. She was 55 years old. So my understanding is that, okay, you probably heard this too, is that the father of this 19-year-old called the police and told the police that his son had a baseball bat at his door. Okay? The father called the police on his son. We get that right. And the police responded. And when they responded, they say that the 19-year-old was coming at them with a bat, an aluminum bat. So they shot him. They shot him. It's not funny. They shot him because they said he was coming with a bat. I mean, if you think about it, the father did not call the police out to his home to kill his son. The father called the police out to his house to subdue his son, not to shoot his son. The police are just so trigger happy. I mean, there's all kinds of ways they could have subdued this guy. They didn't have to shoot him. They didn't have to kill this guy. They didn't have to kill the 19-year-old. That's a given. They didn't have to kill him. They could have tased him, but they didn't have tasers. They could have shot him with rubber bullets, but they didn't have rubber bullets. They could have surrounded him and gang-tackled him. They could have did something besides pull out a gun and shoot this young man. Police shootings are just so, I mean, when you think of Chicago, you think of what? Cops shooting innocent African-Americans down to the ground and getting away with it. They didn't have to shoot this guy. They didn't have to shoot this 19-year-old. They didn't have to shoot the 55-year-old lady, Betty Jones, who just answered the door. That was ridiculous. And now the police department, they're admitting that this was a mistake. It was an accidental shooting. Do you think the relatives of Betty Jones, her kids, her grandchildren, are going to think that this is an accidental shooting? And they're also trying to say the 19-year-old Quintonio Laguerre, he was mentally ill. They're saying that he was mentally unstable, and the people around him who know the young man, his parents, his friends, they're saying he was not mentally ill. This is something that the police is just using as an excuse to justify them gunning this guy down. And the thing about it, they shot Quintonio Laguerre seven times. They shot this young man, 19, seven times. Seven times. That means they wanted to kill him. And he only had a bat. When is it that a baseball bat equals a bullet or seven bullets? This is crazy. And now I'm hearing that the police officers, every police officer that's involved in these killing of these two people are put on death duty. They should be fired immediately. They're put on death duty. They're taken off the street, but they're still pulling down a paycheck. This is murder. This is total murder. Emmanuel and his police department, this rogue-ass police department that go around shooting people, this is crazy. Just like one lady said, she said, well, they shoot first and ask questions later. She said, we call you out here to help us subdue this kid. We didn't call you cops out here to shoot this boy. He only had an aluminum bat. It wasn't even a wooden bat, from my understanding. It was an aluminum bat. But you know what? A lot of these police officers in Chicago, they are so out of shape. I mean, they can't even walk two spaces without becoming out of breath. A lot of these police officers should shape up, period. And if they shape themselves up, they get themselves in a healthy frame of mind, both body-wise, and they can take down some of these people without shooting them. Take a martial art class, a kung fu class, a fighting class. You don't always have to shoot somebody, gun somebody down. But the police, and I believe this, they love to shoot. Once they strap that damn gun on around their waist, they want to shoot, regardless of what their superiors tell them. I get out here and gun somebody down. And you can't make me believe that they will not. Now, there was a time when I was a long supporter of the police until some of these videos started coming out about how they just gun these people down, shoot people in Chicago. It's a damn shame. They just gunned, you know, this guy, oh, man. Family members of two people killed by Chicago police early Saturday asked why officers used deadly force. And just like I've just saying, some of these family members, they call the police. You think they call the police there to shoot and kill their loved ones? This was totally wrong by the police. The police department, I think they know they were wrong. And now they're saying that this guy, the 19-year-old LaQuinto LaGuire, charged at them with a plastic or aluminum bat. So they shot and killed him 7 times. I mean, when the police shoot, I mean, they don't just shoot one or two bullets at you. They try to unload the whole damn magazine into you. It's ridiculous. They love it. They like the feel of killing someone. It's great. It's wonderful at that spare of the moment. But after they've seen what they've done after the fact, oh, my God, what did I do? Why couldn't he be in the hospital or something? That's one of his, his mother or one of his family members is quoting. He didn't have to be shot. Rather than being in a hospital talking about Quintino LaGuire, he's now in the morgue. He's now in the morgue. The police were just wrong on this. Totally. Now they're trying to say that the police were in their right to shoot the 19-year-old teenager, Quintino LaGuire, 19, but it was a mistake to shoot Betty Jones. I think it was a mistake, it was idiotic, to pull out their guns in the first place. Excuse my French. To pull out their guns in the first place. You don't take your gun out of your holster unless you are intending to shoot someone. And they were intending to shoot someone. Instead of tasing him, which I was told they didn't have tasers, or shooting with rubber bullets, or bringing him down in some other way or some other fashion, they did not have to shoot the guy. From my understanding, the kid was a good kid. He was good. Okay, family even saying, what happened to tasers? 7 times my son was shot, is what he's saying. The police are supposed to serve and protect us, yet they take the lives. They don't serve and protect, they take your lives. Okay, the police should use stun guns or other non-lethal methods instead. Okay. Yeah, they should it. Or they should just try to, they could have just, like I said, circled the young man with the bat. I mean, they got radios. They could call in for backup, for help, or whatever, to try to circle the, bring him down. Just, you know, just bring the guy down. Circle him. Jump on him. But don't shoot him. God damn it, don't shoot him. Don't pull your gun out and shoot him when he only has a bat, a baseball bat, an aluminum or a plastic bat at that. If he was swinging to hit somebody, I'm pretty sure they wouldn't have probably died. But this is bad. This is horrible. This is what's going to get Rahm Emanuel out of the governor's office. I'm governor. Well, that's another topic. Out of the mayor's office. This is bad for Rahm Emanuel. This is totally bad. I mean, this act comes after the Laquan McDonald case, where he was, well, this young man, I think it was 17, shot 16 times. And previous audio showing police gunning people down, shooting people in the back. And don't talk about the Tamar Rice case, where the police have gotten off shooting this young man who had a pellet gun. The police just drove up and just started shooting this guy. That's all they did. They drove up and started shooting. They didn't duck behind the car. They didn't say drop the gun. They just drove up and started shooting this boy. Latar Rice, I think his name is, if I'm not butchering his name, but he was only 12 years old. This is ridiculous. And it seems like the they are on the side of the police. The law is on the side of the police. They taking up with the police. Saying that the police was justified in shooting this young man, this kid. There would be no indictment of the police officers in this case, which is crazy. You know, I mean, and the police. Okay. Quinantonio was an engineer. Okay. Was an engineering student from Northern Illinois University, who was home for the holidays. He was home for the holidays, visiting his parents away from college, a university. He got into an argument with his father, Antonio LeGreer, earlier Saturday at his father's home on the 4700 block of West Erie. Family. Okay, Antonio LeGreer, his father told the Chicago Sun-Times that he called police to remove his son after Quintonio tried to break down his locked bedroom door while yelling, "You're not going to scare me." He called downstairs to his neighbor, Betty Jones, "My son is a little irate. Do not open your door unless the police arrive, okay?" Antonio LeGreer had told her. The younger LeGreer was holding a baseball bat when the police arrived. He was holding a baseball bat. It doesn't say he was charging at police officers. I'm gonna say this one again. Police officers, they lie. They lie because they're trying to cover their asses. Now, this story here says that LeGreer was just holding a baseball bat. Apparently, he probably was. The police reports, I'm pretty sure, are saying that he charged at them and they was in fear for their life, so they gunned him down. You know, this is crazy. Baseball bat or no baseball bat, he wasn't deserved. The 19-year-old teenager did not deserve to be gunned down by police who refused to use a taser, who refused to use other methods that's at their exposure to handle cases like this. Now Rahm Emanuel is saying, well, we're going to have to change the system. We're going to have to do something. We're going to have to take them back to retraining. Why in the hell weren't they retrained in the first place? One of the things got to do with the police is try to get them into some kind of physical shape so they can deal with people of mental illness, which they say that this guy did not have. His family members and friends say he did not have a mental illness, but the police are saying he did. You would think that his family know more about this, about their child, than the police does. Okay? And this is another stain on the city. This, like every other police shooting of an unarmed teenager or unarmed person in Chicago, this is making national and world news. If a police officer so much blink at a young man, it makes world news. World news, all over the world, and that makes Chicago look bad for that. That looks bad. No. I thought we were lunging. I thought he was lunging. And this is a quote from a police officer. I thought he was lunging at me. You're a police officer. You either know or you don't know. You don't say, I thought he was lunging at me. Because if you say, I thought he was lunging at me, you're lying. He said, when he says, I thought you were lunging at me, he's talking about the teenager with the baseball bat. He felt the teenager was coming after him with a baseball bat, so his life was in danger. So he decided to pump 7 bullets into the guy, to the young man, and the young man is in the morgue. The young man is dead. He is dead. Okay, here's a clip I have.
I guess we're calling a phone for the day every day, and I don't have a phone. When I did have a dog, I would ask him, give me one, because I don't have one today. God is with me, because I don't know how I'm standing here before you today. I really don't know how I'm standing here before you. I would have liked for the Father to be with me, but he chose to be a lawyer today. But I have my family, and I have one of his family members as well. And that's really helping me to be strong. My son was a good child. He's a child that wanted things. He always said...
On October 1st, 2015, a gunman at a college in Oregon shot 18 people, killing 9. The mass shooting followed an ongoing pattern seen throughout the United States. In fact, the U.S. sees a considerably larger number of these shootings than any other industrialized country. So we wanted to know, why exactly does the United States have so many mass shootings? Well, it's important to note that there is no easily agreed upon definition.
Officers from the 11th District responded to a call of a domestic disturbance in the 4700 block of West Erie. Upon their arrival, they were confronted by a combative individual, resulting in an officer firing shots, fatally wounding 2 individuals. The matter is under investigation by the Independent Police Review Authority, and further questions regarding this matter should be directed to them.
He was having a mental situation. Sometimes he'll get, you know, a little loud, but not violent. I was just with my son on Christmas. I mean, I talked to him. I told him that he had to control his temper, but he wasn't violent. I went to the hospital. My son had 7 bullet wounds. And that's too much.
Oh, all right. That wasn't, I don't know, clear enough or whatever. Okay, according to a statement released Saturday by the Chicago Police Department, officers who responded to a 911 call were confronted by a combative subject, resulting in the discharging of the officer's weapon. Okay, I'm getting a feeling that they're saying just only one officer fired and killed these people. The 55-year-old female victim was accidentally struck tragically and killed, according to the statement, which extended deepest condolences to the victim's family and their friends. I have to slow down a little bit when I'm reading. Autopsy finding Findings released Sunday by the Cook County Medical Examiner's Office say Jones died from a gunshot to the chest and LeGuire from multiple gunshot wounds. That means that she was shot once. The woman who answered the door was shot once, accidentally shot once, they say. And LeGuire, the teenager, was shot multiple times. From my understanding, allegedly he was shot 7 times from all the reports are saying. Well, multiple means quite a few. On Sunday, Mary Manuel issued a statement that called on the police department and the Independent Police Review Authority to review the crisis intervention team training. Oh, my God. Of how officers, police officers, handle calls for service that involve the mental health crisis. Involve that. Okay. I've just got through saying the families adequately and so eloquently put that their son was not mentally ill. He was not mentally ill. They say he ran a marathon. He was not mentally ill. I'm pretty sure there's proof of that. But see, the police department and the brass are saying that it's mental, that he was mentally ill, so they can try to cover their asses. That's all that is. That's all that is. And I think they're going to burn for this. There are serious questions about yesterday's shooting, okay, that must be answered in full by the Independent Police Review Authority investigation. While their investigation is underway, we must also make real changes within our police department today. And it is clear changes are needed to how officers respond to the mental health crisis. That they're saying mental health crisis, again, is saying that he's crazy or he has a problem. Okay, and the family saying, hey, he's not crazy. He doesn't have a problem. He's not mentally ill. But that's what the police and the top brass of the police are saying. You know, so I would think of, like I just said, I would think the family know more about their kid than the police would. But you know, like I just said, that's the police trying to cover their asses, you know, because the lawsuits are going to prevail. That's what's coming. They are coming. And this is just crazy. I mean, the shootings, the killings by the police officers in Chicago and in other places. I'm pretty sure as I speak and I'm on the radio here, it's going to be more information trickling out of this each and every day, all the time, trickling out. And the majority of the time, these killings, these shootings of young black men are taking place on the south and west sides of the city, the poor. Live. Poor and uneducated live, and people who just are dirt poor. You know, prostitutes, gang banging, thugging, drugging. You name it. This is where the crime usually is taking place in the city. People are so poor they can't afford to move from their crime-ridden area to better places. More likely they're on food stamps, getting welfare. You know, they're on some kind of government assistance, selling their bodies, pimping, gang-banging, gang-slanging, gun-running. But still in all, if in that type of environment, police should not just shoot people down. Under already there is a federal investigation into the Laquan McDonald shooting. The feds are already in another incident to investigate. This is crazy. I mean, you're screwing up. You're letting people know that there needs to be something done about this wayward violence where people, police officers just shooting people at randomly, crazily. And I'm hearing that the officer who people, he knew that he had made a mistake. He knew he had screwed this one up. He had effed this up. He knew it. And now these officers are off the street. they're on death duty or something. They should be immediately fired. They should be immediately taken off the street. From what I'm hearing, they're going to be on death duty for about 30 days while the department investigates the shooting. There's nothing to investigate. It's clear cut. Two people are dead who didn't have to be dead. A father called the police for the police to subdue his son, not to shoot and kill his son. An innocent lady is dead. A woman is dead. A mother, a grandmother, because of idiotic, stupid-ass police officers with the finger on their trigger. Trigger-happy police officers. And this is a shame. This is a mess. Do we got it?
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block
Talk
Radio.
Okay, nothing? Let's see if we got this. Are we having any difficulty? Apparently so.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, the talk of our times. This is the talk of our times on Block Talk Radio, the Wilder Network.
I can't wait till 2016 so I can try and do things a lot better. On this show, this is, let's see, canceled. I've got things popping up on my screen here that's not supposed to be. Are you sure? Yeah, I am sure. Okay. They're having prayer vigils. I mean, you got Jesse Jackson all out here in the street protesting. I'm going to have to say, I think Jesse Jackson is a little bit too old to be out here. He had his time. He should let someone younger do this. But this is his element. This is what he do is march and stuff, you know. But now a lot of us are saying about these shootings in Chicago, where is Obama on this? President Obama, he says nothing whatsoever about these killings and these shootings in Chicago. And Chicago is supposed to be his hometown. This is where he hailed from when he first became, you know, in 2009. And we all voted for him in 2008 and 2012, but he will not a single word about what's going on in Chicago. I know it's a lot of people out there who love Obama. I mean, there's nothing bad you can say about Obama, but this is something he should, that Obama should start being a Chicagoan. Care about your city. Say something about what's going on in your city. Don't just sit back and hope everything is going to get better, or because I'm thinking he doesn't give a damn. Of all the shootings, of all the killings, of all the garbage that goes on in this beautiful city, Obama sits back and doesn't say anything, at least not pertaining specifically to Chicago. I know a lot of people out there going to disagree with me. No, I am not a lover of Obama. I don't think he's the greatest president ever. No way. No way. Because I'm going to tell you something. I think Obama can't wait. He cannot wait until the last day in office. And a lot of people around can't wait till he's out. Great president. I don't think he's been as bad as some presidents, but he hasn't been the president that we, some of us, wished he had have been or could have been. He sits back, don't say anything, don't pretend like it's not here. Well, they have to let, I guess he's figuring that the local politicians can deal with it themselves. Slow down and corrupt as anything. As anything. Okay, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I have no guests on the show today, but, you know, join me in January, and we've got a calendar full. Believe me, it's a calendar full of guests. The only way they don't show up is that they just don't keep their appointments or whatever you want to call it. But anyway, I mean, you miss a show here, you miss a lot. And basically what we're talking about, what I'm talking about, is Chicago and its police department. It's just a mess here. That's why so many people are packing up and leaving. Businesses are packing up and leaving. I mean, this, I'm not just saying Chicago, but the entire state. But politicians aren't going to tell you that. They're not going to tell you that businesses are leaving. They're not going to tell you that people are packing up and leaving for all kinds of good reasons. High taxes, crime, more high taxes, corrupt politicians. And this is the reason why people don't vote. One of the reasons why people do not vote, they don't trust politicians. They figure that their vote is going to be wasted because if, no matter who they pick, that person is going to wind up being corrupt and bought off and become puppets to their donors, which probably in some ways is true. It's true. But we have to vote. There's no doubt about it. I'm digressing here. But basically what I want to talk about is changing the culture, the police culture in this city of Chicago. Chicago is a beautiful city. It's a wonderful city. It's a great place to live. It's a great place to raise your children. But we have blood on our hands here. Blood on our hands. And it's caused by the Chicago Police Department. There is no doubt about that. That is no doubt about that. We have to do something about it. I suggested once, not too long ago, that it's, some people called it crazy, loony, but it's a suggestion. And I always say, hey, wow, if you don't like my suggestion to try to stop some of these shootings, then what is yours? What's your suggestions? What's your idea to try to curb violence or to stop violence in the city of Chicago, especially by the rogue police officers, the rogue Chicago Police Department? Here was my suggestion. Here's what I said. You may not agree with it out there, but here it is. I suggested that all police officers in Chicago have their guns taken away from them. Guns and leave them with only tasers and rubber bullets. A lot of people jumped on me for that, you know, but it's something. We have to find something to try and stop police officers from shooting people in the back. Some people respond, oh, what about the bad guys when the bad guys have guns? And I'm saying, what is your suggestion? What can you give? What can you say? What can you offer to try to help stop the violence against young black men by police officers? At least I offered something. It may be dumb to some. It may not be kosher to some, but it's a suggestion. It's something. Take away their damn guns. Police officers shouldn't have guns, but they're going to die. No, the people who are going to die are the ones who are innocent. Innocent people are going to die because these police officers in the city of Chicago, they are just whacked out. And like I said, we are already under a federal investigation for the Laquan McDonald shooting. Police officer Jason Quan McDonald, 16 times as he was walking away from the police. And the police report read that he was charging at the police. He was not charging at the police. He was walking. Police, they lie on their... They lie. I once had an officer lie on me. And the judge just went right... The judge went right along with what they were saying about me about 20 or 30 years ago. And that's true. An officer would walk in the courtroom and lie on a defendant, and the judge would believe the officer instead of defendant, especially if you don't have a lawyer. Okay. All right. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, having fun on my show after Christmas. Wish you the best of everything in 2016. I just hope you live your dreams. Don't let anybody take your dreams. Don't let anybody tell you you can't make it. Don't let anybody tell you you can't do it. Do it. Do not let anybody control your life. You control your own life. Once you let someone control your life, you have it no more. They have it. All right. This is George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show. And I love it. I love it. Even though it's negatively. It's negative going on in the city of Chicago. And when I say negative, I mean bad things like police shootings. And they're still protesting downtown. There's still groups of people downtown holding up traffic, blocking stores. But this is because of the Laquan McDonald shooting, the teenager that was shot 17 times. This latest shooting, the teenager was shot 7 times. So the police, when they shoot, they unload, boy. I mean, they try to put every damn bullet in the chamber into the person that they're shooting at. This is crazy. This is crazy. And something has to be done. And I don't think Mary Emanuel is going to survive this. People are still calling for his ouster. Anita Alvarez, people are still calling for her ouster. But she's not going anywhere. But I don't think... She's going to win re-election again. She got her election coming up in March of 2016. She's not going to win because I think she got about 2 or 3 people running against her. So she doesn't have a chance. Okay? Emanuel was just elected in the office, I think, about a year ago. He was just elected. So he has to resign. There is no doubt about it. This killing by police officers, these shootings, they have to stop. The shootings came, okay, we're going to talk a little bit more about it. The shootings came amid scrutiny of the police department after a series of deaths of African Americans at the hands of police officers gave rise to the Black Lives Matter movement. Okay, the Chicago Police Department also is under federal civil rights investigation that will look into the patterns of racial disparity in the use of force, how the department disciplines officers, and handling misconduct accusations. The federal civil rights investigation was launched after last month's release of the Chicago Police dash cam video showing Officer Jason Van Dyke shooting Black 17-year-old Laquan McDonald 16 times. 16 times! And if you saw the video, you see Laquan McDonald laying on the ground, and the officer is still pumping shots into his body. Still, why he's on the ground. And if you look close enough, you can see smoke coming from his body. Every time a bullet hit, you can see smoke rising up out of his body. And this is just crazy. I think the Chicago Police Department should be revamped, just torn down and just built all the way over again. Because these people here, man, okay, LeGuir's father said his son had emotional problems. On Sunday, LeGuir's mother said that it was not true that she disputed reports that he never had a combative, okay, I'm quoting her here, he never had combative behavior. That means he was never a fighter. My child ran a marathon last year for charity honor roll student. Okay, honor roll student. He's been having A's and B's since he was in grammar school. My son got A's and B's, but he's a little bit off. I love him to death, though. Okay, and she says, I holler at him all the time, and he's never raised his hand at me. I wish I could say that for my son. So I know the boy's father could have dealt with this situation, and I wouldn't be here today. Obviously, the father had custody of his son. He should have called. Okay, the mother is saying the father should have called her for what, you know, and probably if the father would have called her, her son would have been alive. But the father, he called the police on his own son because he said his son had a bat and was trying to get at him. So, like I said earlier in the show, I don't think he called the police. As a matter of fact, I know he didn't call the police to come out there and just shoot his son, to kill his son. He called the police to apprehend and subdue his son, but not to kill him. I can understand why the police probably drew their guns or weapons, because the south side, the west side of the cities are hot. Excuse me. The south side and the west side of the cities are hotbeds of crime. But as a police officer, you're supposed to what? Observe the situation. Check out the environment. You know? He didn't have a gun. I mean, when the father called the dispatcher 911, he did not say his son had a gun. He knew his son didn't have a gun. Police officers, they just snapped and shot people. Shot people down. And I don't think, like I said before, I don't think Mayor Rahm Emanuel is going to survive this. I really don't think he's going to survive this. I think he's going to wind up stepping down because I think he's got about 3.5 more years, if I'm correct, he's got about 3.5 more years as mayor. I don't think he's going to survive. I really don't think he's going to survive this because every day of those 3 years that he continues to be mayor of Chicago, there's going to be protests for him to step down. Anita Alvarez, she's out next year if she doesn't resign earlier because people are going to vote her out. But Emmanuel, you know, he has a new superintendent. So he's fired the other guy. I talked about that in some earlier shows. He has a new superintendent, but this guy seems like the new guy seems like he's just as inept, more inept as the previous superintendent of Chicago Police. Because this happens. These people don't have an idea. I've said this before. They don't have an idea in hell how to stop the violence in Chicago when the police are a part of the violence. They are the violence also. Black-on-black crime is horrible in Chicago. But you got police on black. That is just as horrible. Are paid to serve and protect, not to get out and shoot. One lady said they ought to take that crap off their cars because they don't do anything but shoot people. They don't serve and protect. And it seems like as though she's correct. She's right. anytime you arrive and somebody calls 911 and you get out of your car, your gun is drawn, it only means that you are ready to shoot. Armed or unarmed, you are ready to pull that trigger. And when you pull that trigger, it feels good taking somebody down and taking somebody out. Because you know the entire police force or department is going to be stand behind you and make sure you get off. Just like these cops got off in the Tamar Rice case. That's a damn shame. That's justice denied. That's justice denied. They just zoomed up on that boy in the park and just shot him down. And now they've gotten off with that. Well, we can't tell a real gun from a fake gun. They need to be retrained. They need to retrain, and they need to get less money, too. You know, so I don't know. I don't know. So, you know, we just got to see what's going to happen in the days to come because information is totally trickling out. I know you're probably following the case. But you know what? By me living and being in Chicago, I have to cover what's going on in this town and give my opinion of what's going on in the town. You don't have to agree with me. Nobody has to agree with me. But give me the courage enough. Give me enough courage to say, George, you said it. You said it. All right. Okay, Meryl. Okay. Hours later, Jones has hosted a Christmas. Oh, man, my God. They're talking about Betty Jones now. They said an hour later, before she was shot and killed by Chicago police, she had hosted a Christmas dinner. She had exchanged gifts with family and played spades. Jones, who had five children and six grandchildren, also worked the advocacy group Action Now called. It called for a higher minimum wage, health care, and schools. She was active in her community. This is a lady, Betty Jones, that was shot by police as she was opening her door. Opening her door. Well, that's going to tell a lot of people, hey, don't open your door unless you know who's there. Not even for the police officer. You know, they're going to, well, don't even open your door for the cops. They might shoot you. See, this is a bad, bad president. This sets a bad, bad example for the cops. Just about everybody in Chicago, black, white, green, are now looking at the police officers in this city in a different light, in a different way. Even myself, when I go out, you know, into the street, even to the store and I see a police car, you know, it just brings me back to the Laquan shooting or this latest shooting. You know, that's all I think about. I see a cop and wow, damn. They shot this latest teenager seven times. And before that, they shot Laquan McDonald 16 times. And there's a lot of police video out there, dash cam video, showing police chasing African-American young men and shooting them in the back. And getting off with it, you know, that's a big, big pet peeve for me is to see police gun down, chasing, not even chasing, but standing still and just pulling the trigger. You ever seen them? They be in their shooting stance when they shoot, or like they shooting at targets, but they're actually shooting at people and getting away with it. And getting the hell away with it. Gun violence in the city of Chicago is high and it's rising. And most of that damn gun violence is coming from the police themselves. Coming from the police themselves.
It's the second weekend in July, and the trauma unit at Advocate Christ Medical Center on the outskirts of Chicago is bracing itself for the worst.
Christ, let's identify.
Hi, this is San Fran.
In Chicago, trauma tends to get busier in the summer months. We've had a stretch of some warm weather.
In what proved to be bloody days in the city, 82 people were shot in Chicago on the July 4th weekend. 16 of them fatally.
Possibly our busiest weekend ever.
And more than two dozen of those victims were brought here to Advocate Christ, which served the city's south side.
A lot of gunshot wounds and a decent number of fatalities as well.
A week later, the pace on a Friday night is slower, but soon after 11 p.m., a call comes in. Ambulances with two gunshot victims are on their way from the city's Roseland neighborhood. The first of the victims arrives, a male with a bullet wound through his shoulder.
The gentleman came in with a gunshot wound, but it was just to the right shoulder, and there's no significant injury.
The medical team treats the wound, but soon rushes to prepare for the second victim, who did not fare as well.
George, can you hear me here or there?
He's got a gunshot wound to the right chest.
I'm going to get another IV.
Most of the victims are younger patients. They're usually male, who are of lower socioeconomic status.
You got an 18 gauge.
And it represents the neighborhoods where the violence is taking place.
This 26-year-old man has internal bleeding that is making it hard to breathe.
He had gotten shot in the chest.
What's your name? Tell me your name.
And he had diminished breath sounds on the right side of his chest.
Okay, one, two, three.
You know, 90% of homicide victims are men.
Don't move.
95% of perpetrators are men, and that is even more skewed in Chicago. And it vastly discriminates against people of color, particularly African Americans and Latinos.
It's caused a contusion of the lung, which is a bruising of the lung. There's also some blood in the chest.
So move your eye move.
A surgeon prepares to place a tube in the man's chest to drain the blood.
It is a sort of a basic resuscitation maneuver in terms of patients who have penetrating chest trauma. Place the tube in the chest cavity to drain the blood or to drain the air that's collected around the lung. One of the few times that a fairly simple bedside procedure can actually save a patient's life.
These life-saving maneuvers happen nightly in emergency rooms across the country as gun violence haunts America's cities.
In the last 30 years, about 1 million people have died from guns, and that's homicide, suicide, domestic violence, and accidents.
More than 30,000 people die from guns every year in the United States. Chicago is plagued by a gun homicide rate much higher than New York or Los Angeles, which have shown sizable decreases in gun deaths. Still, homicides from guns are half what they were here more than a decade ago.
The decrease in homicides in the United States has been, in many areas, a tremendous public health victory. So Los Angeles, or let's say New York City, in the early 90s, 2,000 homicides per year.
Last year, homicides in New York were down to 355.
And while there has been a decrease in Chicago, it has not at all been as dramatic.
In some ways, it's getting better, but I think that there are neighborhoods and communities and generations of people that are not getting the kind of positive supports that are necessary to really turn the tide.
New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago basically have about the same murder rate for murder by other than gunshot. So that's fascinating if you think about it, because everybody wants to know what's different about Chicago. First thing I said when I got here, too many guns, the proliferation of firearms.
In the past, most of our penetrating trauma was coming from the south side of the city of Chicago and some of the more violent neighborhoods, but now we're actually seeing quite a few coming in from the suburbs.
Though gun deaths are lower in the city so far this year, as they are nationwide, police figures show shootings are up. Chief of Trauma Surgery, Dr. James Daugherty, says he's noticing a disturbing trend.
We're seeing more patients who have multiple gunshot wounds, and I think what we're seeing is that the severity of the injuries that we're seeing are much worse. Are they all gang-related? The answer to that is no. Not all of the cases are gang-related. Many of the patients we treat, in fact, a majority, are innocent victims. They just happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Down, One of those innocent victims got the attention of the city in mid-July. 11-year-old Shamaya Adams was at a sleepover at a friend's house when a stray bullet came through the window. It struck her in the head, and she died the following morning.
Say amen, everybody.
A day later, Shamaya's family joined other supporters and activists for a vigil in her West Side neighborhood.
So everybody just say with me, God bless,
God bless
Shamaya's family.
God bless
Shamaya's family.
God bless
Shamaya's family. Bow your heads, everybody.
They mourn and call for justice and an end to senseless acts like her killing.
I'm tired of the words. I want to see action.
Yes.
I want to see the guns being put down.
An 18-year-old who ended up shooting at some rival gang members who were 14 and missed them and hit an 11-year-old in a residence and killed her. And the initial confrontation was between two groups of 14-year-olds who had a fist fight. So you take a fist fight and you introduce a firearm into it, and now you've got a murder.
Also, if you know something, or know someone that knows something, please call. Please call.
Local groups collected more than $8,000 as a reward to find the person who killed Shamaya.
I'm not pointing the finger at nobody.
It's all right.
Come on, take your time.
It's real,
Doc.
It's real.
But I tell you one thing, take a message from me. This ain't over with.
Sometimes people are afraid to speak up. When we held a youth summit, people spoke about the code of silence and that people have to speak up. But then people also spoke about being afraid to speak up, or if they do, they want to make sure that it remains anonymous.
You brought us together for a reason, to be a blessing to this family, and that Shemaiah's 11 years would not be lived in vain.
In Shamaya Adams' neighborhood, people were willing to talk about what they saw, and it led to an arrest.
Earlier this morning.
All right, we're back. They're saying that now they're saying that the police officers need to be reformed. They need the new training. They need new everything. They're saying that the 19-year-old, Quintonio, if I'm pronouncing his name, LeGuire, was now mentally ill. That's what they're saying. I've heard the parents say that he was not, okay? They're saying, I've heard his friends and family say he was not, but he's saying he's mentally ill. There might be some medical evidence to that. I'm not sure. I don't know. Like I said before, laying a suit against the city. The city is going to have to pay out more and more money. They are, everybody involved in this, you know, every family member, every person who is capable of filing a suit, a wrongful death suit, is filing it. The city is going to be, and everybody has hired a lawyer, of course. So the city is going to be out of a lot of money this time. And they're talking about balancing their budgets. They're talking about raising taxes. The city is all giving out more and more and more money for these shootings, these unjust shootings by police officers. They're talking about the police having crisis intervention training to be better, to know how to better handle mental illness cases. Well, my thing is, why didn't you do that in the past? I mean, mental illness just did not get here yesterday. It's been here since the beginning of time. How come you didn't do this years and years and years back while police officers were gunning down black men? And this gunning down of African Americans didn't start in 2015. It didn't start 2014 or 2013, 2010, 1975, 1965. It's been going on forever, and these cops have been getting away with it because the department stood by the cops, the judicial system stood by the cops, and they got away with this. But now this crap has come to a head where police officers who gunned down, who used their guns, when there is no one else shooting, they're going down. You don't draw, you don't shoot someone unless they're shooting at you. I don't give a damn, you know, a baseball bat or no baseball bat. He wasn't shooting at you. He didn't have a gun. She wasn't shooting at you. She didn't have a gun. So why are you, the hell are you pulling your gun out and shooting and firing at people? It's crazy. And now the mayor, he's ordering changes to police training. And in other words, he's admitting that the police screwed this one up. And they've screwed up everyone before that, previous to that. Laquan McDonald, 16 times. This young man, 19 years old, shot him 7 times, multiple times. Neither one of these people had guns. And that there was a video that I seen a few weeks ago of a black man running from the police officer, and the guy just stands and shoots the police officer in the back. And Anita Alvarez, state's attorney, refused to bring charges against this, saying that the guy had a gun in his hand and that he was running toward police cars. We couldn't see that in the video. And then they zoomed in on the guy carrying something that looks like a gun, but anybody could have just drew that up there to be in his hand. You know, that could have been drawn in his hand. You never know. I mean, if you think about it, if you have a gun, you're not going to run from the police. You're going to be shooting. Why was he running from the police with a gun in his hand when he could just turn around and just shot? See, heaven, but, you know, that case has been, you know, not talked about much anymore. You know, but that's going to be another video, you know, that's going to be scrutinized. Somebody should scrutinize the video. Police, I mean, when a police shoots someone, automatically people are saying, well, it probably was justified. The guy had a gun, or the guy deserved it, or the police felt that they were in, their lives were in danger, so they used their guns. And now they want reform in the department. I just said all policemen in the city of Chicago should have their guns taken away from them, and they probably could only have tasers and rubber bullets or something to shoot people. Why weren't they carrying tasers or rubber bullets or something to take down someone with that doesn't have a gun, that's not shooting at them? And another thing the police officers need to do, they need to get in some good damn shape. A lot of these police officers, they are totally out of shape. They can't run. They can't fight. They go for their guns. If they were in some sort of shape, if they know a little bit of martial arts or know how to fight or know how to take someone down, go shape, you know, maybe they wouldn't have to be pulling their damn guns all the time. They could use their physicalness, their training, their martial arts, kung fu fighting or something, instead of always shooting somebody. Run after them, tackle them, take them down. If this person doesn't have a gun, if he has a gun and he's shooting at you, yeah, shoot back. But if he doesn't have a gun, he's not shooting at you, he's got a bat or a stick, try to subdue this person in some way. Subdue them, you know, call for backup, you know, surround him, charge him, take him down. Yeah, but they won't do that. They're going to take out their damn guns and just shoot until there's no more bullets left in the gun. And then the city is going to be up for another civil lawsuit. This is just crazy. It's monstrous. Chicago is known. It's embarrassing to live in Chicago now. Kind of embarrassing. It truly is totally embarrassing. I'm kind of afraid to say I'm from Chicago. Where are you from, George? Oh, I'm from New York. Being that way, because when people think of Chicago, they think of all the killings and the murders. They used to think of, when people thought of Chicago, they thought of Al Capone, you know, back in the 20s and the 30s. And then they thought of, when people thought of Chicago, they thought about Michael Jordan, one of the greatest basketball players of all time. So now all of that stuff is taking a backseat to all of this police shootings of young men, killings, all these murder. That's what it is. Call it what it is. Murder of these young, bright, intelligent, smart young men. They've taken the lives of these young men. As I said earlier, the father did not call the police to come there and shoot his son. He did not call the police to come gun his son down. He didn't do that. He called the police to come and subdue his son because his son was having a breakdown or something. A lot of them are saying that the guy wasn't mentally ill. That's what I was going on. But then the police department says that he is mentally ill. We'll find out what is the truth in the coming days once this investigation is completed. There are so many police investigated shootings in the city of Chicago, it can make your head swim. There are so many police investigated shootings going on right now in the city of Chicago. It's going to take years. Wow. I don't think it's going to take years anymore. It's going to take a few months, a few weeks or something. This is not going to be another Nita Alvarez where it takes 400 days to get a cop to jail. Yeah, I am pissed off. I live in the city of Chicago. I hate to see the city go down the toilet like this. And the police is helping with flushing this city down the toilet. Like I said, when I go out and I see a police car, I'm African-American. I get panicked. Uh-oh. And there are so many people who are carrying guns now. Legally. They're carrying them legally. And some of these people who are carrying guns legally, they can snap and start spraying bullets everywhere. They're carrying guns legally. I have a couple, you know, but I know that I'm not going to go out here and shoot nobody up or anything like that. But I can't speak for the next guy or the next woman who's carrying a loaded weapon. So you've got to be nice when you meet people because you never know. Somebody might be carrying a gun in their purse. And the minute you piss them off, bing, bam, you're gone. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, 347-857-1762. It's 719 straight up Chicago time. Oh, the weather is kind of cold. It's raining. It's snowing. It's everything winter is about. You are listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I will be right back. Let's see what we're going to do right here. Okay. We will be right back. Stay with me, everybody. Is that clip on there? I'm hearing dead air now. All right, there it goes. Thank you. Radio. You're listening live. George Wilder Jr. Show. All right, we're back. If you hear any cracking or breaking up in the audio or on the show, please forgive me, and we're working on it. I'm working on it. So this is just crazy. All right, we've been talking about the Chicago shootings, and there's been quite a bit to try to fit into this hour-long show. I'm going to try to stretch the show a lot longer once the guest starts appearing on the show, once I can get more equipment. It's expensive to run. All right, follow me on Facebook, Blog Talk Radio. Follow me all over the place. And, you know, just stick in there and stay with me and follow me. I have a lot of great things to say. Everybody don't agree with a lot of things I say, but that's great. That's what makes it fun. If everybody agreed with everything I said, it would be boring. Sometimes I'll say things just so people can disagree with me, but then I'll say things that are agreeable, and I'm wondering, wow. It just tells you the demographic. It tells you that there are so many people out there with different mindsets and different ways of doing things and different ways of approaching certain kind of information. And it's not a bad thing. It really is not a bad thing. And all right, here we go. Let's see if we can this will work. Listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Stay with me, everybody. We are back, and my clock is saying 7:27 p.m. Chicago time. 3 minutes left to be on the air, and I just cannot go off the air without saying something about Governor Bruce Rauner of the state of Illinois. I just cannot leave without saying something about that, and at the tone of my voice, you know it's negative, right? All right, Governor Bruce Rauner is still on vacation, as far as I know, and he doesn't want anybody to know where he is. He doesn't want anybody to know where he's vacationing. I mean, he goes to great lengths not to tell you where he is. You know, I guess that he has forgotten that he is a public figure. I mean, are you a public figure? I mean, we supposed to know where you're going. Business, but at least you can tell us where you. I mean, Emmanuel took a vacation and he let everybody know he was going Cuba. But this guy here, man, he don't want you to know where he is. That tells you what kind of governor this guy is. You know, I mean, wow, he's back. You know, he and the backstabbing Democrats have ruined Illinois. I mean, we have. There won't be a budget for 6 months. That's crazy. I mean, if you don't have a budget for 6 months and you're the governor of Illinois. Totally, you're not doing your job. You are not doing your job. All right, 6 months without a budget. Wake up, Illinois, and recall this bad apple. All right, George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show, just about off the air. I will see you tomorrow. I got new hours Monday through Thursday, same time, 6 o'clock to 7:30, 8 o'clock, 2 hours, whatever. And I'm glad you're with me. Stay with me. Listen all the time to the show. Bye-bye, everybody. See you later.